All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Good morning. It is actually afternoon, and it is actually September the 20th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you were at. It is Friday. It is the afternoon. I did work today. We were supposed to have... It's so funny. The Weather Channel says we are going to have rain for the next 3 or 4 days. We haven't had a drop. And yesterday, a guy's like, tomorrow it's supposed to really rain all day. Beautiful day here. Beautiful day. Sunny, hot. I don't know. We can't get rain if our life depended on it. And which I guess is good. I don't know. We could use some rain. It is dry. That's how my life is today. That's all I'm seem to be worried about is if we're going to get any rain, which is actually not a bad place to be. But that is what's going on. It seems like we've just been in this holding pattern for rain, and it never seems to fall. And it's really weird. I don't know how these guys can miss this so badly, but it's probably raining somewhere where somebody else is listening. So congratulations on your rain. I worked today, only a half day. Not sure why. I'm sure I blocked it out at some point and thought it'd be a good idea. I do need a break every once in a while, but sort of left me hanging in the middle of the day with not much to do. I decided I would ride down to the beach, and I have this necklace that my wife bought me. It's sapphires. It's like raw sapphire pieces. It's not fancy, but I do love it, and I wanted to make sure that I've had it for a couple years, and I wanted to make sure that it was... you know, safe, holding together. It's made up with all these little pieces of sapphire. Nothing expensive, right? But I feel like it's on fishing line, and I'm afraid. I keep picturing this thing breaking and all of these little pieces just cascading across the floor, and it stresses me out. So I've been meaning to get down to the beach and have it checked out. And this time of year is nice because most of the people have started leaving, and then we can start moving about the place a little bit more freely. And so I just thought I would ride down there, and so I did, and it was funny, man. You never know when life's going to come at you, or life's going to show back up. And I walked into the place, and this guy, I see the guy standing there, and I walk over to him, and he turns to me, and he looks, he goes, "Man, I haven't seen your face in a long time." And I was like, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, who is this? And... he goes, "It's me, your neighbor from back in the day." I was like, oh my God, this is the guy that used to live above me when I was in my darkest drinking period of my life. And I've shared in this podcast how me and him and the other, his roommate, would always get in fights. And God damn, it's crazy. I have seen him before since I got sober. And I've sort of made amends to him many times, actually. And he was like, "Good to see you, buddy." Like, he doesn't think about this shit at all, right? He doesn't talk about this at all. And I was just telling him, I do a podcast, and I just was talking about this situation where, you know, how I had to make an amends to the people that lived upstairs from me. And he told me that he actually is 22 years sober, which is fantastic. And then he's like, "I remember that last fight, right? And you," he's like, "you were going after my records." And I was like, I don't remember that. I do remember I lived below him in an apartment. They lived upstairs. And at the top of the stairs, he had basically built shelves all in this apartment to hold all of his records. I mean, this guy had a serious record collection. And he was saying that I'd come up and I'd tried to attack his records. And I was like, oh my God. I go, "I'm so sorry, brother." And he goes, and I said, "And I tell you what, man, and I love records, and I would never disrespect the record. So I apologize." And he's like, "Man, it's no big deal. We're all good." And I was like, it's just, you just never know when life's going to show up again, right?
Destiny. Night's gun in my hand. Behind a gun, I make my final stand. It's why they call me
Company, Bad Company, great song. I love that time for music, the 70s, and I don't know if that, I think that was in the 70s when they came out with that, maybe the 80s, I don't know, but man, I just know, it's from voice to mic, right? No digital enhancements. They probably had some effects or something on there, but just a much different time in music, and I definitely did not appreciate it at the time, but I definitely appreciate it now. So great band, Bad Company, great song. But yeah, man, it was a trip. And the good thing is, and like, you know, and I've sort of been in the same theme of these steps is that, you know, it's nice to walk the streets, right? Walk around today and not have to look over my shoulder. It's nice to be able to have conversations or, you know, visit a store where a person that I may have in the past had an issue with, may work or own and not have to worry about, having a tough conversation at this point in my recovery. All the amends that I've had to make, all the lists that I've had to make, all the people that had to be put on it have been put on and been reached out to, and Bill was one of them. And like I said, I've seen him a couple times, and I know when I first got sober, you know, I still lived below them. And I remember I made an amends to them a couple times because I could tell you that night I went to jail. I got arrested for assault. Because I was out of my mind. I was freaking out of my mind. I was, you know, I live below them. They make so much noise up there. Or in my drunken mind, it felt like a lot of noise. It was probably just normal noise. But I was out of my freaking mind and, you know, banging a freaking broom into the ceiling. Boom, shut the fuck up. Just out of my mind. And then confronting them in their stairwell. And he said, you were going to attack my records. And I was like, oh my God, I don't remember that. And I ended up falling down the stairs. The police were called and, I went to jail and, just to be released, you know, it wasn't like I went into jail, but it was, basically saying, get your shit together, dude. And, I would eventually get sober and have many opportunities to tell Bill and his buddy Russ that, I was sorry and I apologize. And that's not the person that I am. But that is the person that I become under the influence, and I never want to forget that, right? Because I, you know, and like I said, I love records. I would never attack your records, man. I appreciate them. And but the guy under the influence of vodka is capable of doing anything. And but, you know, it's important, especially early on, is to try to clean up some of this stuff, make our amends, right? I don't know if I was centered on the beam and I made the amends to them. Probably like, look at me, I'm sober, I'm better, here's my amends, and whatever, right? They accepted, I was good. I've run into him several times. You know, when you live in the same town for 30 years, we run into each other, and every time I see him, every time I see anybody that was ever affected by my behavior from prior to me getting sober, I always say, hey man, I'm still sorry about all that. And he's like, you're forgiven, man. And so, but walking in there and, you know, but that's the nice thing, you know, you clean it all up and life goes on. And so walking in there and seeing him, it was all smiles and hugs and, you know, how you been, how you doing? Good to see you. You look great. in the past, we can laugh about, right? We don't have to sweat it, right? We're not, neither one of them. He's not a victim of it. I'm not a victim of it. We've all played our part and recognized it and moved on. And it's just, there's a real freedom to that, right? And I think freedom is a word that I think associates with my relationship with God. Freedom, peace, right? Love. And that conversation today was about freedom, peace, and love. And no fear. No fear showed up in that conversation. So that conversation was a God-based conversation. It was about peace, love, and forgiveness and accountability. And it was really cool, man. He cleaned my necklace, and he actually put the necklace on me, which I thought was really nice. A nice touch, bro. I cannot emphasize how many wonderful blessings and gifts come from being sober, besides the fact is that I don't have to drink and get in fights with my neighbors, right? It's so many things that I can tell you. If March 31st, 1997, if I had just decided to put down the bottle and just continue my life, but free of drink, those gifts would not have shown up, right? Those gifts would not have shown up because I wouldn't have learned about the true issue, which is that I'm self-centered, right? And, you know, learning that drinking is just a character defect. I came in because of my drinking, but it can't be what keeps you there, right? We have to learn about the rest of us, or we get to, right? We don't have to. We don't got to do anything. We get to. And when we do, man, it's just blessing after blessing after blessing. And so, you know, really cool moment. Just got home. Love seeing him. And, you know, my buddy came down. I think the last podcast I did, it must have been maybe Wednesday morning. I don't know. But my buddy Dean came down and spoke for me at a meeting. Did a great job, Dean. You know, perfect. You know, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Just laid it right out there. But he mentioned something. You know, him and I, we've only been friends probably, I mean, I don't even know long, a year, right? Like having conversations and being a friend. But I've known his wife for like 15 years, right? And his wife would always share, you know, not too much, but, you know, just some behind-the-scenes struggles that were going on. And I would always be like, you know, hey. And I can't even remember if he was like trying to get sober. I don't really remember the exact details, but I would just be like, hey, man, if he ever needs to talk to someone or is interested in going to a meeting or anything like that, here's my number. I am always available. And when he shared about that and that, you know, how appreciative he was that I reached out. And for a minute, I was like, oh, look at me. But that's what we do, right? That's what we were supposed to do. And I shared that I didn't do anything special. All I did was the same thing I would do for any other person, which is just put my hand out and say that if you ever need anything, I'm here, right? That's the least, I mean, it's the most I can do and it's the least I can do because, you know, it's not my business to go jump into somebody else's personal life, right? It's not my business to tell another married woman advice, right? That is between her or him and their partner. And, you know, you have to be careful, right? We don't want to cross any lines. So it's always my position that, like, if anybody has a problem, and honestly, you know, I would never obviously give anybody advice to a woman. That's for women. I am here for other men. And, but listen, if a woman was struggling, I would say, listen, I can connect you with some great women, and they can help you get on the path to wherever it is you need to go, but it isn't going to be me. I did sponsor a woman last winter. She was gay, which I think is fine, whatever. And I felt like it would be okay because I didn't feel like there was going to be a real conflict. And I sort of said I'd just sort of be a temporary sponsor for her if she needed it. It just didn't really work out. It I think the issue was she just didn't call me, which was fine. You know, I let my wife know. I'm like, you know, this is what's going on. And it was not an issue. I absolutely believe men should sponsor men and women should sponsor women. But I think she was just feeling a little left out. Wasn't sure which way to go. So I was like, yeah, I can, you know, temporary sponsor, call me every day. We can have a conversation. Let me know how you're working a program. And we'll see if we can get you set up with somebody else. But just didn't work out. But when it comes to, for me, I try to help men. And but he was like, you know, he kind of suggested that I played kind of a cool role in his recovery. When I was like, that is, you know, that's awesome, right? And it's not easy to get sober. I was telling somebody yesterday, I'm still shocked I'm sober, right? I don't even know, from the place that I was to the place that I am today, it just blows me away, right? I just didn't think I was capable. And I didn't think I would even want it. In fact, I never wanted to get sober. I love drinking, or at least the demons in me told me I did. There would be times definitely where I would be like, I hate this shit. But man, when the demon showed back up, he was strong and he had good words and I listened and I believed it. I had no idea that I was capable of living this sort of life. And but once I got a taste, man, it is 1,000 times better. It was funny when I was talking to my buddy down at the jewelry store, he told me he drinks NA beer. I was like, I do not. I cannot. That is still a little too close to the devil for me. But, you know, and I've never seen him at a meeting, so I don't think he goes to meetings. He must be just a guy that didn't drink anymore, and he's fine. I was personally tortured by self and had to, or I was going to, or, you know, I was going to do it again, right? Drink again if I didn't really address this. And but it was great, you know, listening to my buddy. He said, and his topic was effort and attitude. Effort and attitude. And that's what he suggested was what was helpful for him was his effort and the change of his attitude. And I think that's fantastic. I remember early on these like little clicky sayings, right? And I remember one of them being attitude of gratitude. And I was like, well, I've heard the word attitude, but I had not really heard it next to gratitude. And what does that mean? And I remember somebody saying, you know, just act like you're grateful, right? Just, you know, be a half full guy, right? Instead of a half empty. I'm sort of dealing with that with my dad right now. He's a half empty guy. And I don't understand. But hearing that term, attitude of gratitude, I just was like, yes. These were all new worlds for me. And I liked it. I think I like being grateful. I just didn't know I could be or how to be. I didn't know to take the time to recognize how grateful I am, right? I didn't recognize the time to take the time of all the wonderful things that actually come my way, right? I had spent so much time focusing on all the bad things, right? And a person like that, myself, in that state of my disease, all I could see were the bad things. I didn't have very many good things, right? I mean, I'd be like, hey, I woke up. That's good, right? But not a lot of sunshine back in those days. So one of the first things I heard when I got sober was attitude of gratitude. And what it meant was change your attitude, right? And I'm sort of going through this with my dad. You know, he's coming out on Monday. He gets out and he's just grumpy. Right, I was talking to my brother about it. He's a grumpy old man, and I'm like, and I tell him, don't be half empty guy, be a half full, right? I took him clothes. I'm like, well, why don't you start, you know, getting dressed, right? Instead of sitting around in this gown, why don't you start getting dressed, start making the moves, like we're going to be leaving on Monday. Let's start to change our role here, right? Instead of the patient, like maybe, you know, it's time to start getting dressed and joining society again. And he's just like, I am not wearing a gown, or I'm not getting dressed until it's time to leave. I was like, okay. All right. So he needs an attitude of gratitude. But I do believe that, you know, and like my buddy Dean said, it is that. It's effort, right? And attitude. And I love that. I think that was a perfect message. I think those are two absolutely simple things for me early on that I could absolutely understand, change, address, and immediately, right, start to see an improvement in the person that I was, right? These are all part of that third step. We turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, right? We start making better choices. We start having a better attitude, right? We don't have to be that miserable, you know, person that I was. I can start to be a better, you know, start to see the sunshine instead of the darkness, right? And I immediately started to feel better. I think when we, or when I start to, you know, on a, if I'm having a bad day, it's usually my attitude, right? If something's not going my way, I'm not being able to work through it. I'm not, you know, using prayer. I'm not having conversations with my sponsor. I'm not discussing it. I'm not trying to realize what part, what step would this help in. I just see yuck. And the problem is for me today is I know better, right? And so when I do that stuff, that's being a volunteer again, right? I'm just volunteering to be miserable. There's no reason other than I'm just too lazy to fucking turn it around. And so, but I do think early on it's easy. And then effort, right? I put a lot of effort. The one thing is, I will say that effort and attitude will not save us, right? I think it's important to have put a lot of effort early on, get to a lot of meetings, you know, fake it till you make it, right? That's another one. Walk the walk, right? That's another one. All of these, you know, little sayings that I think are important that help us, especially for the guy I was when I came in, which was just a black hole, right? Just had nothing, soulless, and completely lost my way, no hope. And, you know, I could start hearing these cool things, attitude of gratitude. And I was like, okay, I got a hat. And it starts at the grocery store, right? You're just like, thank you, right? Attitude of gratitude. Thank you, right? Thank you. I appreciate that. Let me get the door for you, right? Let me let you into traffic. It's all of these. Really, it's basically the opposite of everything and every behavior that I used to do prior to getting sober, right? I lived and behaved like a selfish person. Coming through these doors, I'm trying to transition to more of a humble person, right? Letting people in, holding the door for others, making our bed, putting our clothes away, brushing our teeth, right? Doing all of the things that normal people do, right? It's a lot of work to be normal. But I know that, you know, and I remember putting a lot of effort. I went, you know, when I, and I'll just say it for me, I, you know, if you're, if, when I was younger than, when, before I got my first year, I went to a meeting every day. Every single day. My first temporary sponsor said, you need to do a 90 and 90. And I was like, okay, right. Little people pleaser in there, still a little sick, right? I'm like, you said it. I'm going to impress you. This is, you know, I'm on stage now. I'm like, all right, I'm back, baby. I'm going to, you got a chore. I'm going to do it. And he said, you need to do a 90. And he said, you should do a 90 and 90. And I go, you got it. So what I do, I did 120 meetings in 90 days. I went to a meeting every single day. And then after the 90-90, I would still go to a meeting every single day. And if I didn't go, it was because something serious had come up that didn't allow me to go to the meeting. But I would probably try to catch it up with two, right? If a person isn't going to a meeting every day in their first year of recovery, you know, I'm not going to say, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. I just think if you're in the first year, you should, you know, we drank every day. And that's always what my sponsor used to tell me. Well, would you drink today? I was like, well, I guess I would have, right? So I need to go to a meeting every day that I would have drank, right? Meetings are only an hour. Drinking was a half a day, right? So I think, you know, I think new people that are new, and I think part of the problem is there's just not a lot of people with a lot of time that are sharing this. Like, you know, hey, listen, if you're going to be sober, you probably need to be in a meeting every day. You know, I sponsor a guy now. I think he goes to one meeting a week. And, you know, I mean, I've told him, but sometimes people got a little more figured out than I do. And, I am not arguing. I'm not going to get myself in a all bent out of shape over it. And so you do whatever you want. My suggestion is you should be at a meeting every day. If you're new, you should be at a meeting every day. And you should keep going to a meeting every day until someone tells you you shouldn't go to a meeting every day. Because it saves us. It saves our lives. And it saved my life. And that to me is effort. Right. And when we do a meeting every day, we start to change our attitude. It's just, it's, you know, it all goes together. And it's fantastic. And it's like a whirlpool, right? You start getting sucked in. You start living this life, and then it just becomes us. You know, it condenses down into that funnel of the whirlpool, and that's just how we live. And when things change, I don't know if you've ever seen like a whirlpool going down a drain, but if you kind of hit it with your finger, it just dissipates the whole whirlpool. Everything falls apart till it can kind of get itself together. That's how my recovery is. You know, if I'm not doing what I'm doing, my whirlpool starts to kind of blow out of proportion, and then I'm like a mess. And it isn't until I get back everything back together that I can start to feel better again. So I loved my buddy's message, attitude and effort. And I was like, you got that right. And, you know, he celebrated a year. He's doing good. I was telling him, I go, listen, man, at some point you will absolutely hate going to meetings, right? It just shows up. About 5-6 years, we do this enough. You know, like I've always said, don't make this the best thing you do, right? Because at some point it won't be. And when it isn't, we won't like it. And so it just has to be, you know, something we do. We got to go to a meeting, or we get to go to a meeting. We do it. We get it over with. We come home. It is the burden that we bear. But it takes a lot of effort, and you got to have a pretty good attitude. So, all right. Well, I just thought I would sit down and chat a little bit about that. It was great to see him. So glad I'm sober. I tormented those poor people above me. All right, let's see. Let me do a little reading, and then I'll get out of here and let you carry on. Daily reflections. All right. HP as guide. Higher power as guide, I guess. HP. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Is it okay? I'm going to say something. You know, one of the things I feel for me early on was this relationship with him, right? This person, right? See to it that your relationship with him is right. Now, this isn't about gender or anything else, but I feel, and this is for me, take it for what you will, but this him thing, this character, this person, this figure sort of kept me, I won't say kept me out of a relationship with a higher power, but I kept searching for something like that. And today, the relationship that I have with the higher power, there is no gender, right? There is no man, there's no woman. It is a place of peace, love, free of fear. It's more of a condition, a state, than it is of a character or figure. And so I get a little weirded out by that. You know, I don't think it's to each his own, right? If you have a conversation with a man, God, that's awesome. But, you know, don't let that hang you up, especially, you know, a lot of this stuff was written so long ago. Some women find their higher power as a woman, whatever. But my higher power is a state of being, not a person, place, or thing. All right, so let me read that again. Sorry, I hope that isn't too confusing. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. Having a right relationship with God seemed to be impossible order. My chaotic past had left me filled with guilt and remorse, and I wondered how this God business could work. AA told me that I must turn my will and my life over to the care of God, as I understand him. But nowhere else to turn, I went down on my knees and cried, God, I can't do this. Please help me. It was when I admitted that my powerlessness that a glimmer of light began to touch my soul, and then a willingness emerged to let God control my life. With him as my guide, great events began to happen, and I found the beginning of sobriety. Yeah, I really think that's the beginning of serenity, really, but they wrote sobriety, so yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, there is a real miracle with that stuff. It's like when, you know, the one prayer I say, Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It's basically saying, I can't do it, and I need your help. And it's sort of that same God, I can't do this. Please help me. Same sort of thing, right? Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. The relationship, it's, you know, it's like my buddy Bill, you know, making these amends, clearing this path, the history. You know, it's one thing to say I'm sorry and to do it over again, but it's another thing to like really make an effort, change my attitude, stop drinking, make an amends, and, you know, clean this stuff up so that I can walk the streets a free, peaceful person. And I tell you what, man, that's a pretty awesome feeling. I've chosen to label that my relationship with the higher power. Call it what you want, but it is a pretty awesome miracle. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you later. Bye.